I want to try in the few minutes I have to speak to you to answer the question, how can I know that there is a God? I want to talk to the skeptic, to the atheist, to the infidel, and to the unbeliever. I believe I have a few points that if faced honestly and with an open mind, one must admit that there is a God and that he has spoken in the person of his Son. In the first place, one can know that there is a God by looking at creation. I read in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Astronomy, the heavens, the stars. I believe one of the most convincing arguments in favor of God is to study astronomy. There is nothing more convincing than to gaze up and behold God's handiwork in the heavens above, the stars. And then again, botany. Let's look at this very important study. Mr. Atheist, put that life into the daffodil. Who did that? Who put the life into the lily? Who decked its petals with all the colors of the rainbow? Who fashioned it so perfectly? Oh, you say it is the law of nature. And this to me is idle talk when you leave God out of the picture. Master the mystery of the flower, and you master God. Then again, another proof of God is creation in man. Man created by God. I know full well that the scientists, falsely so-called, many of them say that the theory of evolution is a fact, and that science has now discovered the missing link. They told me that at university. But in investigation, they find that the missing link is still missing. And all other links to connect man with the early forms of single-cell life are also missing, and they need thousands of them to really make this theory a fact. You know, I received recently from the United States Department of Education in Washington the scientific figures of what man is made of. They say that the body of a 140-pound man contains enough water to fill a 10-gallon barrel, enough fat for 7 bars of soap, and believe me, that's valuable these days with the shortage of soap, enough carbon for 9,000 lead pencils, enough phosphorus to make 2,200 match heads, enough magnesium for 1 dose of salts, enough iron to make 1 medium-sized nail, enough lime to whitewash a chicken coop, and enough sulfur to rid a dog of fleas. The commercial value of the elements contained in the human body has been estimated at the bargain price of 69 cents. You, my dear atheist, are so wise in saying man does not come from God. Why don't you go out and spend 69 cents and make a 140-pound man? Why not? Because you know you can't do it. I think then that you'll have to let God into the picture, even though you don't believe, as we do, that God breathed into man the breath of life and man became a living soul. Then again, in the second place, we can believe and we are assured that there is a God by leaning on God-given knowledge. Romans 2:14 says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves." If you go over into Africa and ask a savage, "Do you think it's right to steal?" He'll say, "No, it's wrong to steal." Yet he steals. How do you account for that? Answer, the God-given knowledge that God has put within his breast. Even though he has no Bible, he is a law unto himself. And then again, by listening to conscience. Romans 2:15 says, "Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." In other words, by listening to conscience. You know, today we're schooled to crush conscience. I realize full well how they teach us in many of our leading universities that we should gratify desire. I took some courses in that. But even after you've done this, that's what they taught me, even after you've done this, you've got a conscience. Man has a conscience. I read a while back of a woman in Germany years ago who committed a murder and was not detected. In order to get away from it all, she left Germany and came to this country. And years went by, and after countless sleepless nights, she finally gave herself up to the police. Her conscience had made her miserable. The voice kept saying, "You are a murderess. You are a murderess," until she longed to be judged for her sin. And so I ask you, what is your sin? You, my friend there by the radio. What thing has blighted your life and spoiled it and blotched it and smeared it? What is the thing that's been eating into your heart and making you feel miserable? That's the voice of God that's been bringing you to the repentance and to the foot of the cross. And then again, by learning from the prophets. Hebrews 1:1 says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets." They said, these prophets, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool." Then again, Isaiah 53:6 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Though your conscience may speak to you, thank God the prophets tell us how we can be reconciled and inherit righteousness through him who was righteous. And thank God, my friend, you need not go through life in misery with your conscience prodding you and making life miserable. There is a robe of righteousness for you if you'll but take it. All that Christ was in his death and resurrection, you can be. A while back, they carefully opened an old rusty safe trying to discover a will here in Philadelphia and to know who was to receive the fortune of $20 million. There were thousands of relatives that applied as heirs. And you know, it is amazing the interest shown. And God offers you and me, my friend, a fortune in righteousness. And this reserve is exhaustless, and it's for whosoever will. A man in California died a while back, and he left $50,000. A bum was found, and he was informed that his uncle had died and left him $50,000. It was his, only when he claimed it. Only when he came and made a filed petition that he might have it and receive it. And so, my friend, for you, with all your sin and with all the stain and the blemish upon your life, though shipwrecked and though made miserable because of sin, afraid of your conscience, afraid of the judgment day, and afraid of hell, as you well might be, there is forgiveness and pardon and a fortune in righteousness for you if you will but come and take it and receive it and accept him and claim him and acknowledge him in your life. Then you'll know that there is a God. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Then you'll be headed for heaven. Then you'll have the solution of life, and you'll know what it's all about. Will you receive him there now, there by your radio, and accept him? I hope you will.